Welcome to The Treasure Hunt, my personal attempt to share my musical curiosity with you. My name is Bas Wiegers, and I'm a conductor. This week, I'm in Stuttgart, working with the SWR Vocal Ensemble on music by Orlando Di Lasso, Giorgi Ligeti, and Morten Feldman. I love working with singers, and in this beautiful choir, there is a singer I've worked with before in different settings. The singer is Johanna Zimmer, a wonderful soprano who happily sings old music, new music, lead repertoire, and opera. She shifts constantly between solo recitals, music theater, choir repertoire. So, since we know each other a little bit, and I'm curious about her look on things, I asked her if we could speak about her life as a performer and how she manages to be so versatile and flexible. She invited me into our home in Stuttgart after our second rehearsal. Johanna, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and have this little chat.
Ah, sure.
I was wondering, would you just mind telling us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, what you do, so we have a sort of general image?
Oh, okay. Yeah, why not? Actually, I come from southern Germany, so I'm born 30 kilometers away from here in Backnang, and I grew up in a very small village called Almersbach im Tal, where my parents still live and where I sometimes still pass by race bike when I do sports or something. It's always nice. And then I started to study after school here in Stuttgart also. Wasn't really planned like that, but somehow I ended up staying here anyway and studied first church music. So I used to be an organist and also conducted and all that stuff. And then I realized that I also have a voice for singing. So I started to sing, or actually I had to sing to study church music.
Right.
So I took singing lessons, and yeah, I noticed that actually singing is a lot easier than playing organ, and you don't have to practice so much in cold churches, and
okay,
it's a lot relaxed, more relaxed. No, actually, I just discovered that I really, really like singing, and that I enjoy that a lot more than playing organ or playing piano or conducting. So I started to study singing as well, and then, yeah, ended up being a singer.
It's interesting because it's much more versatile than what I imagined, because I see what you do, and you do all these kinds of different things. We'll speak about this later. But now I've just learned that you also conduct.
And yeah, not anymore. Not anymore.
It's never too late.
When I really have to.
I think we first met when you were singing with the Neue Vokalsolist in Stuttgart.
Yes.
I think that was the first thing we did together. And the Neue Vokalsolisten is a cutting-edge new music group. You were their soprano for some years. And in that time, I think you focused really on new music.
Yes.
And even on sort of new music theater.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna do something nasty. I'm going to pass on a question to you that I get very often myself. And I always have to feel... I have the feeling that I need to sort of defend myself when people ask me this. But anyway, I'm gonna ask you the same question. How come you got so interested in doing particularly new music?
That's a question I get very often too. Actually, it wasn't really a choice. It's not that I decided, oh, I'm so interested in contemporary music, I only want to do that, but it came by itself. It's maybe a bit mean to say that not so many singers are interested or talented with contemporary music. So if you're a bit talented for it, you get the chances very easily, and you're, in a way, you're also a bit pushed into doing contemporary music. And with me, the interest came with doing it. So it's not that I was first interested and thought, oh, I want to do this, but it was more the other way around. I was just very often asked for it and thought, ah, why not? And then when I started doing it, I thought, oh, actually, that's nice. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting music. So I started to really become interested.
And because at some point you also then stopped again with the Neue Baselisten, and you're now doing all kinds of different things. Yeah. You're working as a soloist, you're sometimes in operas, you're of course a member of the SWR Vocal Ensemble also, so you're doing, so let's say, chamber choir music as well. Is that now something that you are really trying to make sure that you have a wide range of things that you do, or is that not something that you're very concerned with?
Actually, yes, I try to do lots of different things on purpose.
Right.
Also, I try to do lots of different things for the voice, to not only do contemporary music, but to from time to time really do very classical singing, like also lead and oratorio, where you use your voice in a, I say, very classical way.
Yeah. This, now you're the, really the, talking about the way you use the instrument.
Yes, yeah. The way I use the instrument.
Yeah. Now, apart from the technique and, you know, what it means for you, for your personal sort of instrumental use of your voice, also all those places where you are, you have very different roles. Because, for example, in Neue Vokalsolisten, this is an unconducted group. You were always, or almost always, sort of on your own in chamber music situations. In the situation of the SWR Vocal Ensemble, you are really part of a bigger choir, so this is a real sort of a conducted situation. And sometimes you're a soloist, which gives, probably depending a little bit on which conductor you work with, but it gives you maybe a little bit more freedom, or even a bit more a little bit more push into taking the lead even.
Yeah.
So your roles are very different.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that affect you? Is this diversity something that you like, or are you more comfortable in one role or the other?
No, actually, I like it to do these very different things. But indeed, they are. It's really fully different things to sing as a soloist or to sing in a choir. Even though in the SWR Vocal Ensemble, for a choir, we still are rather soloistic in a way,
yeah.
But still we are choir singers. Yes, of course, it's a fully different thing. I mean, as a choir singer, you have to just take all your ego out and blend fully into the other voices, and also sort of really take your personality back in a way, and just give in a way 100% for disappearing or blending into the group.
And how easy is it? Because I mean, I can imagine that when you do an opera production 1 week and you are in the chamber choir the next week,
yeah.
how do you shift these roles?
I find it really difficult, actually. Maybe that's the most difficult part in what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
The very fast shift.
Yeah.
Especially when I come back from singing solo into singing choir again. That's very difficult.
Yeah.
Actually, the other way around is nearly easier, I would say.
To go from choir singing into
the more solistic role, yeah. I find easier than the other way around.
Yeah.
I mean, when I came after studying, I sort of came directly to the SWR Vocal Ensemble. So actually, when I was still at conservatory, I got the job at SWR, and I started there. And then I, in a way, came from choir singing, or I came from ensemble singing. And I didn't, of course, I sang solo here and there from time to time, but actually what I basically did was ensemble singing, sometimes in small groups, sometimes in bigger groups. So that was for me the very normal thing. But then when I went to Neue Vokalsolisten, which is still an ensemble, I worked, of course, a lot more as a soloist. I mean, that's a group of six singers only. So in a way, it's also in the name of the group, Neue Vokalsolisten.
Solisten, yeah.
It's just soloists.
Yeah.
And then I was there for 5 years. And then going back into the real ensemble singing, I found really, really a lot more difficult than I had imagined it.
Interesting, huh?
Yes. I thought, that's easy. That's what I've done for years. I know how it works. And I came back and I was really like, how did I do that? I didn't know it anymore.
And
it took me quite a while to find the correct way of working again.
And we always think that it's more fun to be freer. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people would imagine. Like the soloist has all the fun and the conductor has all the fun. And then, you know, once you're in a choir or once you're in an orchestra, you have to adapt or whatever. But I don't think in your case this is the truth, right? I think you feel happy in the vocal ensemble also.
I like it both.
Yeah.
I like the mix. I mean, doing only the one or doing only the other would, I think, be nothing for me.
Yeah.
I like the mix. I also like the blending and the singing with an ensemble, singing with a group. I really enjoy that. Everyone sort of takes his ego back and really works as a team player for a group.
There can
be fantastic results.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then being part of that group, that's something I really enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in a way the same with Neue Vokalsolisten, but in a bigger group, if you get this really, this close sound or this. Yeah, this where everything really blends into each other. That's just to be part of that is really also an amazing feeling for me.
It's the same with orchestras. I mean, when you work with like a beautiful smaller chamber orchestra, it is wonderful, and they can sometimes be very flexible and sometimes very they can do a lot of different things. But for example, when you have a huge symphony orchestra and you have whatever 45 string players and they play a pianissimo, you know, they play something really, really soft. This is something you cannot achieve anywhere else, not with a smaller group, because that is actually harder to play so soft.
Yeah.
And the same, I think, for choirs.
Yes, absolutely.
We just did a rehearsal this afternoon of Feldman. And when you have the whole choir singing really very soft, probably for the single people in the choir, they think my voice now sounds shitty. But when you have the whole sound blending and everybody has this beautiful, very, very soft, you know, then it's a color that you cannot get anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's very special. If I'm not mistaken, your partner also works in opera. And does that perspective of her being a librettist or a writer or whatever, does that perspective also change something for you in the sense, you know, how you look at making opera or how you look into a piece? Or have you always been sort of literary interested?
I think I have always been literary interested.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting question, actually. Of course, we discuss texts and we discuss libretti, especially if we do things together. Of course, we also did things together from time to time. And maybe I got a more intense view at text or at libretti. But actually, no, I've always been very interested in the texts.
I mean, that you're doing lead,
I mean,
yeah.
I do also lead and oratorio, and especially in lead, I mean, you never just sing the music, you always sing the words, and in a way, you always base your interpretation, or my interpretation is always, of course, based on the text that I sing. In a way, I first, especially in lead, read the text.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's also what I did in this case, especially with the lasso. Because there it's so crucial, you know, where the text, what the words are and how he uses them.
Yeah.
And it's really nice for me because, of course, when I do mostly instrumental music, and to have this help of words is great, actually.
It's of course. I mean, the interpretation in a way, it just comes by itself, I always think, when you have text.
Yeah, at least it sort of shows it to you.
Yeah, it shows itself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now we got, anyway, into this program a little bit. We mentioned the lasso already. Had you done these madrigals before?
No, I've never heard them before.
It's beautiful,
I didn't know them at all. Yeah, absolutely.
Lagrime
di San
Pietro.
Really, really beautiful.
Is the last work he composed. And it's very long. I mean, it's an hour when you do all of them.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a pity that we should do all.
Of them.
Would be
next time.
Yeah. But did you do a lot of Renaissance music actually?
When I studied, I did a lot, of course, because I came from church music, and that was in a way the closest.
Yeah. And with the choir, you don't do it so much, do you?
No. I mean, we do a lot of contemporary music. I think 70 or 80% of what we do is contemporary. Mm. And we often also do the romantic choir repertoire.
Yeah. Beautiful.
But old music, we hardly ever do.
Nice.
So we really have to work on the basics first.
I'm extra happy that we're doing it then. It's very interesting.
But I think we all really enjoy doing it.
It's so beautiful. And isn't it wonderful for the voice?
It is.
I'm not sure the altos agree because they are so low.
Probably they are very low. But actually for us sopranos, it's written in a very comfortable way for the voice.
Yeah, also for the tenors and
which
the bass.
Which is not always like that with old music. But with Lasso, it's really...
Maybe actually really the altos at the time, they were probably also guys.
Yeah, I think so.
So
And that's always a discussion
with
our altos. Shouldn't the tenors do it? Should the high tenors help us? And I think it's what we now do.
Yeah, exactly. Now we have a little bit of a mix.
Which helps for
sure. Which I think works. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Because it's really low in range.
Yeah. When I was asked to make this program, I really wanted to do something really old because I sort of also somehow grew up with Renaissance music. I think my dad was in love with Emma Kirkby.
Ah, I see.
But, you know, only on the CDs.
But did you sing as a child already?
I was in the choir. Yeah.
Because you're actually a good singer. I was surprised.
my mother conducted the children's choir at the church.
Ah.
I was raised a good Catholic.
Ah, like me.
So I sung in the choir. Exactly. And so I wanted to do this Renaissance music. And then when we decided to also do Morton Feldman, the Rothko Chapel, it's interesting because I find it's so well connected to Renaissance music. First of all, musically, it sort of cleans my ears. It's very sort of crystal clear and everything that is there is sort of has a clarity to it, which I think is also in Orlando di Lasso. But then also, when I started to think about it, of course, we're not allowed to call this religious music, but it's still written for a chapel. It is written to celebrate.
Yeah, and you really hear that in that kind
really
of music,
it.
No?
It's,
yeah,
it's
I always think so too.
Yeah, because of course, you don't have text. Which is interesting because then, you know, the interpretation is something else. It's much more sort of clean or much more, I don't know, we have much less to hold on to. But still, it has a very sort of maybe mystical or contemplative atmosphere about it. How do you feel doing that actually in a normal concert hall?
The Rothko Chapel?
Yeah, because it was written specifically for that place,
That depends, yeah. You mean an atmosphere or an acoustics?
Both, actually. The space was round,
Yeah.
The Rothko Chapel.
probably that it would make it a lot easier. I sang the piece several times, but actually I never sang it in a church.
Mm.
So I don't really know how that would feel, but probably it would feel a lot more, let's say, logical.
Yeah, surrounded or somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it doesn't really fit into a concert hall, but actually I think it sounds great anyway.
It sounds great anyway. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it would be nice to try it out in the room it's written for.
You said you were also raised a Catholic. Does that make, maybe that's a very personal question, but does that make a difference when you sing now, for example, Orlando di Lasso?
Difficult question. Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm rather far away from where I was raised or how I was raised. But probably, I mean, what you feel as a child or how you get raised probably still has a very big impact on your personality. And I guess that it touches something very deeply inside me when I do that kind of music.
I definitely have that.
I don't really know how to explain it better.
I definitely have that.
But probably, especially when I sing things like Bach, Johannes Passion or Matthäus Passion, I have it even more. That I have the feeling it really touches me deeply inside. But I don't know if it has to do with how I grew up. Or if that music just, I mean, that's such incredibly beautiful music that maybe it would touch me just the same if I didn't grow up.
I don't think you
like,
can be untouched.
I don't know. That's
you can be untouched when somebody sings Aus Liebe.
Yeah.
But I still, yeah, I do have the feeling that the fact that I was such a strong believer when I was a kid.
Yeah, same with me, yes.
That it's still, you know, and my second name is Petrus, actually.
Oh, I didn't know.
So I'm named after the guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in this case. But yeah, that it's sort of, it does bring back this very strong feeling of belief.
Probably.
There's one composer that we haven't mentioned yet, which is Ligeti.
Yeah.
So in the case of Di Lasso, he has, the text is like crucial, it's sort of main focus. In the case of Feldman, there is zero text and it has a different meaning or whatever we want to call this. And in the case of Ligeti, it has an extremely beautiful text by Hölderlin, like maybe the most romantic text that you can imagine.
Yeah.
It's so, this guy was, I think, his whole life sort of busy overcoming one love that he didn't get. Somehow he was so bloody unhappy and he wrote fabulous poetry. But then Ligeti used it in a way that sometimes we don't really hear it or we don't really understand it. He makes sort of sound Fläche, wie sagt man, sound, tapestry of sound,
yeah,
or somehow that, and still he expresses the music, but the words in itself are not the main sort of focus. Am I right?
You're right. You said so today in the rehearsal and I had to really think about what you were saying because I had never thought about it that way.
I don't know,
because for us singers, his music feels very close to the text, but probably in a way it isn't.
I'm just wondering, because it's the same music as he would write for, like, Ramification, the string piece, or, you know, other. And of course, it's very expressive and it makes sense what you sing, but what you hear as a total from the outside is this kind of sound image.
Actually, it's really interesting. I listened to the piece. We made a CD recently and we recorded that piece too, the Hölderlin Fantasien, and it was the first time a few days ago that I listened to the piece from the outside and not from my perspective singing it. And I was so surprised. It's two different pieces if you sing it and if you listen to it. It's really crazy. I never had it like that before. When I sing it, it feels to me like I sing in a way, a romantic song, normal lead. It's how it feels while I sing it. It feels in a way like I sing a Lied mit Begleitung.
Yeah.
And then I listened to it and I thought, huh? Is it really the same piece? Because it doesn't sound like that at all.
Yeah.
And in a way, you don't hear the poetry, you don't hear the text, you only hear the music. Like, it sounds nearly like instrumental music.
Yeah. Does that, how...
It's so strange, really.
But how, so for example, now when we rehearsed it today and we spoke about it, I was telling the people, you know, how I
did.
Does it then make a difference for you as a performer? Or are you like, yeah, it's fine that you...
No, I really tried to sing it in a different way.
It was
then,
a bit different afterwards.
And probably it absolutely makes sense what you said. I mean, we then sang it in a way, in a more neutral way.
Yeah.
Which is difficult because the text is so expressive that you also want to sing it expressive. Yeah.
That was my talk with Johanna Zimmer. Thank you, Johanna, for speaking so openly about all these different aspects of your life. The music we played was Ach Herr, lass deine lieben Engelein, a solo motet by Franz Tunder, with Johanna singing and an ensemble directed by Fabian Wöhrle. You also heard a small fragment from Rothko Chapel by Morten Feldman, with Johanna Zimmer and the SWR Vokalensemble under Yuval Weinberg. You heard two fragments from the Hölderlin Fantasies by Giorgio Ligeti, also with the SWR Vokalensemble and Yuval Weinberg. And then you heard a little bit of Orlando di Lasso's Lagrime di San Pietro, with Philippe Herrewege conducting the Ensemble Vocal Européen. Thank you for listening to The Treasure Hunt. I'll put links to the pieces in the show notes. If there are subjects you would like me to speak about in this podcast, contact me through my website. Please follow this podcast on your favorite platform and stay tuned for the next episode.